السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فلما نسوا ما ذكروا به فتحنا عليهم أبواب كل شيء حتى إذا فرحوا بما أوتوا أخذناهم بغتة فإذا هم مبلسون. صدق الله العظيم. This ayat of the Quran Sharif you have heard before also, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions that when they forgot to heed those warnings, I'm just giving you the explanation of the ayat very briefly, that when they forgot to take lessons, when they forgot to heed those warnings that we gave to them, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala talks about the azab that He sent, the punishment that He sent, so that they may get up from their slumber and sleep, so that they may return to Him. But when they forgot to heed those warnings, they forgot to take lessons, they forgot to remember Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala after those disasters and after those difficulties and after those problems that they experienced, then instead of increasing the azab, instead of increasing the punishment, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala punished in a disguised form. He says, thereafter we opened for them the doors of everything. Everything started flooding in. People who were poor became rich. Those who had no properties became owners of great amount of properties and assets. Those people who were sick became very strong, fit and healthy. In other words, in different ways Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala then sent His ni'mats in inverted commas, which were in reality that bait that we put to trap the rats. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sent that. So when they started getting all those ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, so then they truly believed that if Allah Ta'ala was displeased and angry with us, then why must He give us so much? Why must He give us good health? Why must He give us plenty of property? Why must He give us all the assets that we have and all the enjoyment and fun and pleasure? Why must He give to us if He was angry and displeased? So they continued in that trend. As I said, I'm just giving an explanation. So they continued in that trend. In other words, they increased in their activities of sins, vices and evils. They forgot to heed those advices and those warnings and those nasihats. They took no lessons from those disasters and from those difficulties and calamities. So when they were in the midst of their enjoyment, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, then when they were in the midst of their enjoyment, very, very happy, very, very excited, rejoicing in all those bounties and ni'mats, when they were in the midst of that, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala suddenly calls them to account. Suddenly, the azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala comes very, very suddenly. Then they are thrown into complete bewilderment. It's too late after that to repent. It's too late to make tawbah. The doors of tawbah are closed because they have left this world. So this is something that we have to understand, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is very loving, very forgiving, very merciful, and He dearly loves His creation. Who does not love His invention? If any person comes up with some new invention, then he takes care. He even goes and tries to get copyright, so that nobody else makes something similar. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has created man, which is the paragon of His creation, the best of all His creation. Human beings, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave them intelligence, He gave them aqal. They can differentiate between good and bad, between truth and falsehood. they can differentiate between that which is haram and that which is halal. Animals, you cannot do that to them. I have explained in one of my talks here on Monday night that if a person has to have 1,000 sheep or 1,000 goats or 1,000 cattle, and now he gathers all of them and he gives a speech, very beautiful, flowery speech, addresses them and says, "Oh, my dear cattle, just across these borders, this farm doesn't belong to us. The grass is very lush and very beautiful on the other side, but our boundary ends here. So up till here is halal for you, and beyond that is haram for you. Although there may be very little grass on this side, but remain on this side because it is haram on that side for you. And after that, let them go. Remove that fence that was there whilst you were giving the talk. Then see where they end up. You will find everyone on the other side because there was lush grass on the other side." So Allah Ta'ala hasn't given them that aqal to understand halal, haram. But human beings, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave them that aqal. And of all the human beings, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave the Muslim, the believer, the aqal to understand what is truth and what is falsehood. That is why he accepts Islam. And then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them all the beautiful ni'mats that he has in Jannat for those who were obedient. And even in this world, Allah Ta'ala promises peace, happiness, sukoon, tranquility, unity. All these things are promised. And in the hereafter, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala promises Jannat, in which he's got ni'mats which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no thought has struck anybody's mind, in which there will be no jealousy, no malice, no greed, no pride, no arrogance. There will be nobody superior and inferior. There will be no complexes anybody will suffer from. There will be no question of race there. Everybody will live happily there in Jannat. Everyone will be happy with whatever Jannat he gets. There will be no question of any kind of envy or anything of that sort. And there will be no pain, no sickness, no disease, nothing. Enjoyment in the hereafter. So this is what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says. But as Allah Ta'ala mentioned, that when they forgot to heed those advices, then this is what happens. Then Allah Ta'ala sometimes opens up the doors of everything and then traps the person very, very suddenly, very suddenly. So therefore, Faqih Abu Layth Samarkandi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that my father reported, and he quotes a hadith of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, in which he says that every day there are five angels who are making five announcements. Five angels making five different kinds of announcements. Now whether we hear it or not, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam has informed us, so we believe in it. There are many announcements that we don't hear. In fact, the azans that take place from the 10-12 masajis around here, every muazzin at the top of his voice amplifying his azan, still we don't hear it. Although we've got such good hearing, but we don't hear it. And he is calling out also, "Hayya alal falah, hayya alal falah." So where are we going to listen to these angels? So we must give our hands into the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a person of sight. We must consider ourselves as people who are blind. The blind man must give his hand into the hand of the person of sight. He will direct him along. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed us of this alan, of this announcement of these different angels. The first angel announces that the person who is going to miss out on his farz salat or any of the farais of deen, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat and mercy will be removed. That person will be distanced from the rahmat and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Now we all want mercy of Allah Ta'ala. We all say, must make dua, Allah Ta'ala's mercy comes upon us. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that if you want the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, then in the Quran Sharif it is said, "Inna rahmatullahi qareebun min al-muhsineen." The rahmat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is very close to the doers of good. Those people who have the sifat of ihsan in their lives, the rahmat and mercy of Allah Ta'ala is very close to them. And here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that if this person does not have the farais in his life, then he is removed from the mercy. That is why I mentioned that ayat earlier, because we consider only the bounties of this world as mercy, whereas it is not always a mercy. For the good people, for the pious, for the righteous, for the honest, for the truthful, for those people who are obedient to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then even millions is a mercy, billions is a mercy, then it is a mercy. But for people like us who are always disobeying Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then it does not mean that if the person is in good health, he's got plenty of wealth, then he says, Allah Ta'ala's mercy upon me is plentiful. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that if that person does not have faraiz in his life, namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, and besides that, there are many, many other obligations and duties and responsibilities which can also be categorized as farz. So if the person does not have that in his life, so then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that that person is distanced from the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. After that, if he is enjoying some kind of ni'mat, then it is just for a period of time, but some disaster will take place in his life where all those things will then become a pain in his neck. With everything in the world, but the person will not be able to make any kind of move. His life will become very, very narrowed and tightened. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, sometimes He gives out of His pleasure and sometimes He gives out of His anger. So that is not the gauge that we use of how much of material things a person possesses. Material things a good person can possess and it can be good for him. And material things an evil person possesses and it can be bad for him. So he says that if the person is neglecting his faraiz, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala removes him from His mercy. Now we can explain this in detail, but I'm not going into that today. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person who neglects the sunnats, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sunnats, there are many, many. Some of them, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he practiced, but he did not make it compulsory for the ummah. I've explained this also many times, but we get this doubt and confusion sometime in our minds that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam lived in a room 2x2. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam 2 months on end, sometimes the stove did not light in his home. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what difficulties he underwent. So now does it mean that all of us also just have to have one room? So I've explained that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself taught us a dua after wuzu. Allahumma ghfir li zambi wa wassi' li fi dari wa barik li fi rizqi. Oh Allah, forgive my sins. Now when are we making this dua? We're making dua after wuzu. And we'll make wuzu in the morning, afternoon, evening, 5 times a day. We don't know how many times we make wuzu. Now we're making dua. Allahumma ghfir li zambi. Oh Allah, forgive my sins. وَوَسِّعْ لِي فِي دَارِي, meaning give me spaciousness in my home. We're not talking about lavishness. We're talking about spaciousness. Now if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had intended that every ummati of his must also live just like him in a 2x2 room, then why would he have told us to make this dua? And in wuzu, after wuzu, something that every person will make half a dozen times or 5 times a day at least. So you can see how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is concerned about his ummah. Because this person, until he's single, he can live in one shack also. After that, as he grows up, or if he's got his parents, he's got his family, now they will come to visit, where is he going to keep them? And if he gets married, then his in-laws, then if he has children, then sometimes it's boys and it's girls, then the boys and girls will grow up, then he has to separate them. Now if he doesn't have space, then it will be difficult. It will be difficult. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is encouraging us to make dua for spaciousness. That means you must not feel tight and narrowed. And then if you are going to have a spacious home and visitors will come, then you need food, drink to entertain them. So barik li fi rizqi. Oh Allah, give me barakat in my rizq and sustenance. Now look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's wisdom, and look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's ihsan upon the ummah, and look at his concern and his like and his loving of the ummah. That he's even telling us that this is how you should make dua, so that you get barakat in your rizq and sustenance, so that you get spaciousness in your home. So that is not the issue. We are talking about those sunnats which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam emphasized upon. So that at least on the day of Qiyamah, that person can say, Tere mehboob ki ya Rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. Tere mehboob ki ya Rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. Haqeeqat isko tu kar de main surat leke aaya hoon. Ya Allah, I have only come with my outward form. I do not have the haqeeqat and the reality and the spirit. But at least I brought the outward form. Ya Allah, make it into haqeeqat now. Tere mehboob ki ya Rab shabahat leke aaya. So those sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if the person is not going to follow, is not going to neglect, so then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says he will be deprived of my intercession and shafaat on the day of Qiyamah. Now each and every person wants shafaat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Which Muslim doesn't want shafaat? So he says he will be deprived of that. Now this again we can discuss at length some other time, inshallah. Then the third thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, that if a person has to earn haram, if the person has to eat, to drink, or to weigh, or to use anything that is haram, that's what it means. When we say eat haram, it doesn't only mean eat. When the person is going to earn livelihood, which is from haram sources, stealing, gambling, lottos, and all other kinds of haram, and the person thinks that he has really won something. I've mentioned many times that it has helped a lot of people. They say they heard many examples, but this is something that made them give it up. One person who was a real addicted gambler, but he came to me and he says, now he started even returning, taking out from his earnings. Even sold one property and is giving back to the poor and needy because it came through haram sources. He says he heard that bayan in which I mentioned that if a person has to win, for example, 30 million, 50 million, 60 million in the lotto, then he mustn't cause his saliva to flow as it happens nowadays. What a lucky person, what a lucky person. He's not a lucky person. If he's a Muslim, he's a very unfortunate person. So I say we must immediately think that that person won 50 million pigs. So if a Muslim is told that the photographers will be coming and you must prepare yourself and get a nice big farm because 50 million pigs will be delivered to you, will he be happy? Will he run to the newspapers? Will he go to the TV station and say, come and take a picture of me receiving the 50 million pigs? So what is the difference between that haram and the pig? Why do we make tawbah, tawbah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, astaghfirullah when we hear the name of pig and swine? And why not when we earn that same kind of haram money through the gambling den or through the lottos or through such kind of earnings or stealing or fraud? It's the same, there's no difference. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person who is going to earn haram, is going to eat, drink haram, so then Allah Ta'ala snatches away all his good deeds. His good deeds are snatched away, they are taken away, finished, they are destroyed. So on the one hand he's making salat and then he goes to the casino there, so that salat is gone. He gives zakat, it's gone. He did some charitable work, it's gone. He did some good deeds, it's gone. It blows away then. We all know that an atom bomb, what it can blow up. So these are atom bombs. They blow up all those good deeds and the good actions. Then the fourth angel announces, addressing the people who are in the graves, that, oh ye people who are in the graves, what is it that you have regret over, and who are those people that you envy? So they respond, as I said, we don't hear it, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed us. They say that what we regret is that when we had the opportunity in life to do something, we did not do. I'll give you an explanation. That when we had the opportunity to make tilawah, to make zikr, to make ibadah, to care for the widows, orphans, destitute, to do some good deeds and actions, so at that time we were negligent, we did not do it. So that's the regret we have. That now it's over, we cannot do it anymore. And we envy those people who are still alive and who have the opportunity. We envy them that they still have the opportunity. And then they say that we warned you to get you up. And we gave you glad tidings, so many glad tidings, but you ignored that too. If it had not been for the animals which are grazing, for the little babies, innocent ones, and for the old people who are engaged in some kind of ibadah. In other words, if it was not for those who are righteous and pious, then Allah Ta'ala's azab would have come and destroyed all of you. Now these are the angels that are making the announcement. Now we all are complaining of everything that's happening around the world. There's no doubt that minister in Denmark and what he did, who does not know? What is happening in Palestine? What is happening in Bosnia, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Somalia, Sudan, Darfur? Where is the ummah not suffering? So we all know about the suffering of the ummah. And we all want to protest, we all want to take action, and alhamdulillah, that is a good thing that we are concerned about the ummah, what is happening to them. But some of the letters that I receive, then it gives us the state of the ummah. And those who travel, they know very well that the Muslim countries who own aeroplanes, besides one or two of them, on every aeroplane you can get any amount of liquor, wine. At the airports, the biggest sale is of wine, brandy and alcohol. Dubai and other places, you go there and see what's happening. Then if comes to gambling, it comes to interest, it comes to all these other factors, then it is shocking. Other Muslim countries we can understand, but even Makkah Mukarrama, Madinah Tayyibah, the fitnas that are coming in there, and the different kinds of construction that is taking place there, and the provision for the kind of entertainment that is taking place there. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala only protects the ummah from more disasters. Because what is going to happen in the markaz, in the headquarters of Islam, then the effect of that will be felt throughout the world. Now this is just one email that came in yesterday. Besides this, there are so many of this type of things. But to give you an idea that what we are heading for. The place here, I'm not reading to you all the other things. The place here, what I do not want to call masjid anymore, is half disco and half masjid. Pop music and everything else goes. Once the imam of the masjid felt disturbed and asked the jumping ones and the dancing ones to stop for a few minutes, because what she had written earlier, she's a convert and revert to Islam in a European country. And she says when she accepted Islam, she expected Muslims to be Muslims, but she was shocked because this masjid, she can see from her house into this masjid. Now here they say the people, when it comes to nikahs, in the masjid, singing girls, dancing girls and music and everything plays. On this particular occasion, she says that when this music was playing, it was time for Isha Salat. I'll just give you the gist of this letter. It was time for Isha Salat. So the Imam pleaded to those people that were dancing there, singing there and listening to the pop music there because it was a wedding occasion. So the response from one of the brothers was that can't you postpone the Isha Salat or leave it out for tonight? In the masjid, can't we leave out the Isha Salat and let all these things that are happening carry on? The television, people are watching in the Sehan section. When the question was asked that how can you bring television into the masjid, they say no, it is in the Sehan section. They watch football and cricket, what does it matter? It keeps the community united. Now are we not inviting the azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? If we have to look at what is happening around the world, then we say that it is only Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mercy, His rahmat, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam being rahmatul lil alameen, that we are protected. Very, very quickly I will give you this one. I have listened to about 122 copies of your Friday talks, and I have come to conclusion that it is time for me to change and learn new ways. This is a person from another country. There is, however, this big stumbling block in my way. I was born and bred in a town, and he gives the name. In this place, leading ulama seem to be in constant contradiction with certain teachings of yours. They call themselves a certain sect. They have increasingly taught us, because I studied the Quran Sharif from them. They say that music is accepted in Islam to the point that even when they organize certain Islamic functions, we have singing and dancing girls in such occasions. And after the singing and dancing, then they quote some hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They expound the virtues of courting for a long time, and many others I cannot count if I were asked to count so many other weaknesses. Almost every youngster, it now seems, is encouraged to go into illicit love relationship. I not excluded. I fell into many of these traps myself, and the consequent problems for now. I am studying at the university, and even though it is hard to practice upon the teachings of Islam at my school, but after that he says, it is much easier for me to practice Islam at my school than to practice it at my home. And these parties are running into bloody confrontations, he says, because of these issues. Muslims, and some of them are claiming to be leaders, ulama or guides, and now they are having a great difference. They say there's nothing wrong with courting, there's nothing wrong with music, there's nothing wrong with singing and dancing girls if you have to watch them. So then what is wrong with anything else then? In Egypt, one sheikh gets up and he says there's nothing wrong if a person has to just kiss a strange woman, as long as he doesn't commit zina. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Now these are just the tip of the iceberg that I have given to you. Now when this is what is happening within our homes and within our community and in our society, then do we have anybody to blame but ourselves when Allah Ta'ala's azab is coming in different forms on the Muslim community around the globe? May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us and give the Ummah at large the understanding that there is no way that we will enjoy Allah Ta'ala's mercy, blessings, Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, except by obedience to Allah Ta'ala and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. This is just the tip of the iceberg. Otherwise, if we have to know what is happening, then our sleep will go away. So let us make a lot of tawbah, istighfar, and ask for protection for ourselves and for the Ummah at large. May Allah remove the difficulties, hardship, pain, suffering, and problem. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.